When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Booze Hustle. I know I said that I was going to release episodes like every 2 weeks, and it's probably been like an extra week or two. But to be fair, I got hit with a COVID stick pretty hard and the flu like in the last 2 months. And no one wants to hear what I sounded like when I had COVID. I could barely talk. I was unfunctional. So sorry for the delay in episode, but sounding better, feeling better. How are you guys? Are you guys all sick too? I feel like everyone on the planet is sick right now. Good to be back. This episode I actually recorded back in December and had a really great chat. Cassandra Lascarides, yeah, she's fantastic. She is the hospitality manager of Chattermark Distillers in Boston. Chattermark specializes in whiskeys that have been made with New England grains and aged and bottled at their distillery in Charlestown. It was founded by John Sorgini. He's an Air Force veteran, lawyer, now he's a distiller. Chattermark is a small but unique operation. They focus primarily on whiskeys, and they have a gin and a white rye. Pretty cool stuff. At the distillery, Cassandra and the beverage team create unique cocktails made up entirely of things that they create in-house. They have to only use things that they make there just because of the laws around the type of tasting room that they have in Massachusetts. And I spoke with Cass about how she got her start in the industry and the path that led her to Chattermark. She's got a really cool career trajectory. And as you know, on the Booze Hustle, we focus on telling the stories of people behind the brand. But because Chattermark is really up and coming, we spent about equal time learning about Cass as we did talking about the distillery. We had a great conversation. I really hope you enjoy the episode. Cheers. I did stalk you on social media a little bit. So most people that I most people that I interview, like, I maybe know tangentially or know a little bit. And since I didn't know you at all, I was like, I gotta find out what I can about this chick. So I found your TikTok, which is very cute.
Oh no.
Well, girl, great. You don't have a very common name, so it's like it's easy to just be discovered.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I know. That's TikTok is hard. I really love the platform, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, but your TikTok's adorable. So just
thanks. I love music, so that's kind of the focus there.
Yep.
But that's too funny.
Well, that's awesome. Well, great. Thank you for being here. I saw your interview with like the local news, and it was hilarious. And it's so funny because like every time there's a segment with like news, what do you call them? Like mm-hmm. news hosts, news personalities, whatever. Yeah. They have the same shtick. It's always, oh, everybody comes out of the woodwork for the booze. And then you're just like, I just want to talk about how this is made. And they're like, no, what's in this fancy cocktail? And you're like, oh my God, you did great.
I know. It's a very kind like level of excitement with like a complete lack of knowledge or understanding, but you know, we are there to help fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do what I can.
Yeah.
On whatever news platform I'm needed.
I find, I think as time has evolved and the mediums have evolved and there's more conversational type, like getting to know the real people elements through social media, that the regular channel news aesthetic mm-hmm. seems even more bizarre now because you're not getting the real version of anybody. You're getting this like after school, high school, like, rah, this is the pep club. Like, not pep club. What is it? The, I don't know, like a pep rally. Everything's like high fives and ass slaps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
A little bizarre, but I think you did great. So
that's a good way to put it.
So tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do at Chattermark.
Yeah, so my name's Cassandra Lasteritas. Everybody here calls me Cass. What I do is I'm the hospitality manager here at Chattermark Distillers. I help run all events, helped open our tasting room. I am our marketing team in helping our brand and just our identity grow. We are a whiskey first distillery, grain to glass, meaning we make everything from scratch here, located in Charlestown, Massachusetts. So all of our grain is coming from Maine. We do our own mashing, fermenting, distilling, and barreling on site. And we're a small team of just the founder, a distiller, myself, a salesperson, and then we have a little bit of production help and bar help as well. So a tight-knit group. We're just about 5 years old. However, because we made everything from scratch, we just went to market in the past less than like 2 years. And the tasting room is just about a year old now.
Wow.
So it's been a really fun experience getting into like this type of craft spirits and this level of like, you know, intimate group working as one to, you know, level up our brand and our awareness about whiskey in New England.
Yeah. And I imagine everyone there has to wear a lot of hats. There's no like one job when it's a small group like that.
Right. Absolutely. It's very much a startup vibe in that sense
that's fun.
You know, we're all, I tend to like spend a lot of time with our distiller and I chase him around a bit.
I'm sure he loves that.
Because he's like, he's a very supportive, good sport. Because, you know, I'm always trying to bounce ideas off of whoever is around. Because to, you know, collaboration is important. But being this small, we all are needed in different places. So sometimes we have to take chances on our own as well.
That's very cool. Where in Charlestown are you guys? Because I imagine you guys have to have quite a large space if you're doing everything in-house.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with distilling, there's like a lot of rules, just like alcoholic vapors and steam and things of that nature. So we are down by the Navy Yard, literally under the Tobin Bridge.
We're
a little hidden. We are a speakeasy without trying to be a speakeasy.
Unintentional.
You know, I love from unintentional because, yeah, it's a little tricky. We're inside of this area called Autoport. So there's like all these new make cars that are coming through. There's like Boston Boat Works. There's like a boat building shop near us. So it's very industrial, which you'd kind of expect with like breweries and distilleries. But it's still close to the city. Like we're very close to the North End or, you know, TD Garden where the Bruins and the Celtics play. So we're still in the neighborhood, just like a little bit off the beaten path and like under this bridge. So a lot of people, it's a very unique perspective of the city.
You guys should like do something like, I don't know if you've ever watched It's Always Sunny, but they have like the troll toll. You guys can be like, come into the bridge, pay the troll toll, drink some whiskey.
We say that too often, honestly. Yeah, we love that show. So
it's great.
It's exactly that.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I wonder, well, I have a lot of questions actually. Specifically like, you know, you would think there'd be more distilleries. And I was thinking about this earlier, like Massachusetts is actually quite a perfect place for distilling because it has such a revolutionary history. I'm always surprised that there aren't more. And we're talking about making things grain to glass. And I've either you said or I read somewhere that a lot of the grain is coming from Maine. But where's the grain coming from, like the corn coming from for the bourbon?
Yeah, also Maine. So
oh,
it's
okay.
We get all of our grain from Maine Malt House. It's in Mapleton, Maine. It's like technically closer to Canada than it is to us. It's like a 6 or 7 hour drive from Boston. And we are getting grain from them that's not sourced necessarily from anywhere else. So they grow their own corn, wheat, rye, a very particular like winter rye we use as well, and like single malt, like different versions of single malt. Malted barley. So yeah, it's all coming from one location, one farm, which is quite unique. We get like one shipment a month, you know, depending on what we're making. Like right now we're in a bit of a bourbon kick. So we're getting that corn. We do a four grain bourbon as well. So it's with corn, wheat, single malt, and rye. But yeah, all from that one location, which is really cool. There's a lot of good farms in Massachusetts, New England in general. So right, it is a good place for distilling or brewing.
Yep. I'd love to talk about your founder, John, a little bit and his background and how he came to Chattermark. And then we'll talk about you, I promise.
No, the story of Chattermark is really cool. It's always a good place to start. John is a Air Force vet. He spent 28 years in the service, finally retired this summer, actually. So technically, even while he started the business, he was still in the Air Force, doing some duties there, but officially retired. Also was a former corporate lawyer as well, so has that background too. And for him, this is definitely a passion project in the sense that, like, he always found that at the end of a mission, when everyone's getting together, that drink, like being able to come together over a bottle of whiskey and discuss whatever needs to be discussed was definitely particularly memorable for him. Mm-hmm. And wanted to go into service that was a little different, a little bit more craft oriented, and found that his passion for whiskey, it's just not one that is, there was a gap in the city for this particular spirit. Mm-hmm. And felt like it was a good opportunity to dive in. And it's a small yet mighty community that we're now a part of, which is really cool. So we're just trying to put ourselves on the map as whiskey makers in Boston.
Yeah. Why did he choose Boston specifically? Because I know typically if you're going to be doing such a large scale like process that you would want a little bit more mm-hmm. space, and like doing it somewhere where, like, you know, everything's kind of on top of each other, it wouldn't be the first place I would pick. So why did he pick Boston?
Yeah, Boston. Well, one, we're all from Massachusetts. He's like a kid from Lynn now, you know, lives in Boston. So it's something where, you know, he wanted to be close to his family, didn't want to pick somewhere that he would travel, you know, have to travel very far for. So wants to be close to his home. Boston water profile is fantastic. It's a great water system here, water treatment system for us to get used to. Mm-hmm. And Charlestown is also a place that, on the outskirts where we are, and there's other locations, there's space, there is room here. There is still industrial space that believe me, we're running out of it mm-hmm. when it comes to like barrel storage sure. and things of that nature. We need to find other locations to start storing barrels. However, we still wanted to be connected to the city, not be too much on the fringe of the city, and find that sweet spot, which we have. Just cool. So, yeah.
That's great. So what do you guys, I imagine you're still kind of smaller scale, but like what's your total production now that you guys are doing?
Right. So we have well over 400 barrels resting at the moment. I think we're maybe even closer to like 425, mm-hmm. which is really cool. We're making whiskey every day. So we primarily make bourbon and rye whiskey. We also make a white rye, which is an unaged whiskey. And we make a gin out of that white rye. Mm-hmm. We make gin probably once a year. It's a little bit more of a labor of love due to the botanicals and the cleaning that's required mm-hmm. when we're, you know, fixing up our systems. And of course, just being a younger distillery, we are focused on making bourbon, rye. We actually, you know, we make a corn whiskey, some single malt whiskey mm-hmm. too, some more generic American whiskey. But we're focused on making that bourbon rye because we want to get it in barrels as soon as we can to get that aging process going.
So you guys are using white rye as the base for the gin?
Yes.
Very cool. Yes. And what do you guys, botanicals are you using for the gin?
Yeah, I mean, juniper is a classic, but we actually like to keep it, we're trying to recreate like a coastal forest vibe of like Gloucester.
Cool.
So we do our own foraging of white pine for that.
Nice.
And we also include, sumac and white birch. There's like some sage that's involved as well. Hmm. A lot of lemon zest and like a couple other botanicals as well.
Very cool.
Very silky. I love it in like a martini. I actually wasn't a huge gin drinker. Now I'm more of a gin drinker. Thinking joining this distillery, I didn't think that's where I would go. Mm-hmm. And now I drink the gin the most, probably.
It's good to get a break from brown spirits every now and then. That's what ends up happening to me. I drink a lot of bourbon and then all of a sudden I'm like, I want nothing to do with it. I go to agave spirits for a while. Gin, mm-hmm. I have a hard time with gin. I think it's because usually the proofs are so high. And I know proofs are higher on whiskey too, but like something about the proof of gin just hits different. I don't know what it is, but I always get a little litty, a little too fast on gin. I don't know.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I know. I tend to do more spirit forward cocktails too with gin. So it's definitely, I understand. Because I love a Negroni mm-hmm. or like, again, a martini. So those stirred cocktails are maybe a little bit more spirit forward. Yeah, they hit a little bit harder.
Yeah, for sure.
quicker than they maybe suggested.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you. I'm really interested in how you got to where you are because you've got a great education. I was reading, you know, you've got your master's, you were looking to get into education. Somewhere along there, you took a turn down a fishmonger street, and then and then you've ended up at a distillery. Like, I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and like how you found your way to where you are today.
Yeah, I guess like the big thing is like when I was in undergrad, I was a history major, so education was always like kind of something I wanted to step into, but not something that I wanted to dive into right away. I felt like there was so much more to discover. Mm-hmm. With that being said, yes, I've dabbled in a lot of different industries. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, the fish industry is like one of the places that I got to spend some time pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I ended up growing into a position where I was the fishmonger for our local restaurant scene. Mm-hmm. So it was quite unique. I got to work closely with chefs, understanding their process, you know, how they buy fish, working literally on the 100-year-old fish pier in Boston.
Crazy.
Through, yeah, freezing cold winters, smelled terrible most of the time. It's a gritty, very male-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot at a young age, but definitely wasn't sustainable for me. Just so, you know, you got to give up a lot to get to a certain place there. But it was a great place to grow. And at that point, I decided to go back to school to get my master's in education. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, I knew I needed like a part-time job, and I ended up at Night Shift Brewing. I always wanted to like work at a brewery, and it felt like a good gig while being in school. Mm-hmm. And pretty much what happened was the fact that like I kind of, you know, I fell in love with the beer making process, with the history of beer. Again, like looking to be a history teacher, it was just quite fascinating to think about all the different styles, the transitions here in America, here in Germany. Like, it just, there's just so much to think about and talk about. Mm-hmm. And then also, I've always been passionate about like food and drink, you know, with fish and whatever it might be.
I'm surprised you still even want to eat fish after being a fish.
It's like my favorite thing. Yeah.
Oh my God, still?
Oh yeah, I had skate wing last night at a great restaurant.
The love affair is real. I think that like if I had to smell fish that much for that period of time, I'd be like, I need a few years, you know? Or I guess it's been a few years, right?
It has. It definitely, you know, it's funny. It's like a memory, you know, it's a sensation now that when I smell like if it's like down by the water, you know, like raw fish.
Yeah.
There's a certain smell, but it's actually quite endearing. So I'm like, oh wow. Those times.
Yeah. Those were the days.
It's nice to be able to go out for a drink afterwards. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that, right? I would have to go home, shower, like burn my clothes, try again the next day. So So I'm a little bit more social now due to the fact that I got out of that.
I imagine. Like everyone would be like, we really want to invite Cass out, but ooh.
Yeah. That's fair. It's fair. It wasn't great.
Just kidding.
Yeah. And it just kind of grew from there though. So when I was at Night Shift Brewing, I learned a lot about beer. I kind of put my educational skills to the test. I love connecting with people. That's like, it's all about teaching and conversations. Mm-hmm. and learning together. And that was a great place to learn with the staff, learn with customers, share a common passion. And I kind of have those natural, like, because I want to be a leader in a classroom and natural leader managing skills. Mm-hmm. So I just flew and, you know, kind of just grew in this natural sense of giving tours, learning a bit more, becoming a manager, helping them with a new restaurant space. Mm-hmm. Did that for about 5 or 6 years. And then our production assistant here, who was an old colleague of mine, gave me a call about wanting to open the tasting room at Chattermark Distillers. And he thought I'd be the right person to help get it off the ground. So just like a new opportunity. And spirits, something I didn't really know a ton about. Mm. So I've always loved tequila, mezcal. I like whiskey, but I've never dived into it the way I did beer. So it's been a really cool transition to learn about distilling and cocktails and how to also put that in an easily digestible way for our customers that come in, you know? So transporting that to like making it an educational space for our guests, because whiskey is definitely an underrated or unknown spirit in the city.
What do you think is the more known thing in the city?
Well, definitely beer. Comparing, I would say a beer is definitely way more, it's just like oversaturated market here.
Tito's, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then you do have a college town as well, right? Yeah. So yeah, like your vodka sodas, your gin and tonics, maybe your cheaper liquors. There are some stellar cocktail bars that showcase like unbelievable liquors that are made here or just like more craft distilling. But again, it is a smaller distilling community, so I think it's just not talked about as much as maybe the beer industry is normally talked about here. When you have like the Trilliums, the Night Shifts, the Tree Houses of the world,
right?
You know, these huge successful companies.
You know what's interesting is I'd say that the percentage of hospitality or tasting room manager or, you know, front of house distillery people that I've talked to that have history degrees would blow your mind. It's such a common thread, education or history. And it makes sense. I mean, you're storytellers, you're interested in the process. But I always just find it fascinating. Every time I talk to somebody who's in a role like yours, they're like, oh, I went to school for history. And I'm like, yeah, that tracks. That tracks. It sounds about right.
So funny too, because like doing that, you're like, what do you get out of, you know, being a history, you know, student of history? And it's like, well, I'm here, you know, so it's, you learn how to talk about, and be a storyteller and communicate with others in different ways. And it's been really fun.
Yep. That's great.
It's definitely easier too, to talk about whiskey or beer than it is to talk about, like, you know, trying to teach somebody some sort of historical concept. So this is a little bit more fun as well versus a classroom.
Well, it's a sneaky way to get people to learn history, because if you apply it through the lens of alcohol, you can bring people on a journey way back and then like sneak some other shit in there that's important, you know, maybe they'll
Absolutely.
Remember it. So people always want to learn about things they're interested in. So however we can educate the masses, Cass, that's our job.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So we're here to do
whatever we can do. I wonder, I'd love to hear about your approach to the tasting room, because, right, like you still kind of still growing, still new, obviously not like tons of SKUs, but enough things to work with for beverage. Do you craft the beverage program yourself? Where did you get the inspiration for that? Obviously, because I think you were a bartender at Night Shift as well for a while. Can you just talk a little bit about your approach towards, you know, the program, whether it be seasonality or local or influence, like what your influences are?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it really starts with the spirits. I took a lot of time to get to know the spirits, our bourbon, our rye, especially our white rye, the unaged whiskey. It's really unique because it never touches a barrel. So it's very fruity, a lot of stone fruit flavors and like a rising dough. So I knew that would be like a really cool tool to kind of expand our menu. Mm-hmm. Really, my approach here was to start off our cocktail program by reinventing the classics to a certain extent. So in Massachusetts, you know, with distilleries, you have a particular farmer's license, meaning like we're like a liquor farm. I can only sell what I grow. I don't grow sweet vermouth, so I can't sell sweet vermouth. You know, so we can't have Campari or Aperol. It's a very unique challenge. As a bartender, because now you're looking at making different syrups, using different citruses. Mm-hmm. You have to be a little bit more creative because you can't rely on all these other Amaros. And for us, again, we make everything from scratch. So we don't want to source a spirit and put it in a bottle just for the sake of having it behind the bar. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we're controlling every step of the process with every spirit we make. Mm-hmm. Which is a challenge for production as well, not just for the tasting room. So that's kind of where we began. And we wanted to highlight the whiskeys in like the easiest forms, straight pours, old fashions. But then we bring in classics like a Kentucky Buck. We make syrups like jalapeno syrup. So that really goes well with the white rye, giving us like almost like a tequila-like sensation. Mm-hmm. We make a margarita out of that as well.
Cool.
We've made our own triple sec in house. So we can have margaritas. For the menu, because like we are whiskey centric, I see it can be a barrier sometimes with guests. So having them understand before they come here, or maybe they're interested in coming, but they feel like, ooh, brown liquor, like whiskey. I don't drink whiskey. So this bar is off limits to me. It's not, you know, so whiskey can be enjoyed in so many different forms. And also because we have the white whiskey and the gin, we're really able to expand our menu and be a little bit more robust. So intriguing to all different types of drinkers. And I guess we want to be known more as like a cocktail bar, not just a distilling tasting room. We want to try to be on the same level as some of these like really amazing cocktail bars that are in the city. With the level of care, we make our own sugar cubes, for example. We do gin infusions and vanilla white rye. So we're trying to be creative, using local resources, doing things from scratch, and just show that from grain to glass to cocktail, like we're putting in as much effort as possible.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I'm sure that it really honors like the nature of where it comes from too, when you're treating it very locally, right? Like everything here is from here, where it's grown and where it's made. That's very, very cool.
And I should say, I started it, but now I have an amazing bar manager, Vasily, who has like, I had a ceiling, right? I come from the beer world. So yes, I can make cocktails, but like I like tapped out and I was like, okay, this is what I can do. And then after a certain point, I was able to bring in a bar manager who has a lot more skill and expertise and is able to create things that are fantastic and really fun. So it again allows me with like all the hats we all have to wear to shift and focus on getting people in here, make sure I can set them up for success to have a successful night. And it's just, yeah, it's really fun.
That's very cool. And that's very nice of you for sharing the credit. You meet a lot of people who like to take all the credit.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'd love to talk a little, like, get geeky for a second, talk a little bit about the spirits themselves and how they're made. There's a lot on the website talking, like, specifically about air seasoning staves versus kiln drying. I was wondering if you could talk to our listeners a little bit about that and why the founder and your head distiller, Kyle, like, why they are choosing to use that process.
Yeah, they – so when it comes to – the barrels, like we get 53-gallon barrels. Everything is air seasoned, meaning it's been laid in a field for at least 8 months, the wood itself. Just with particular wood that might be kiln dried, your potential to lose certain flavors along the way. And that time in a barrel, you're just going to have some more maybe interesting chemical reactions down the line when it comes to like that 4, 6, 8 year mark. Even after 2 years, we've seen a lot of success with these barrels. Our spirits are winning awards, things of that nature. So we think we're off to a good start. But it's really for us just putting in that extra care to make sure that we're getting the best barrels possible, the best wood, and generally speaking, the air seasoned wood is going to provide more flavor down the line with these spirits as they age.
Okay. And what kind of still are you guys making these on?
We have a German pot still and column, steam, low boil.
Okay.
We double pot distill our bourbon and rye. So we do not use the columns for making bourbon and rye just because, you know, we want to obtain like all of that flavor of the oils that we're developing. Since we do control every step of the process, mm-hmm. it's just not necessary to like clarify anything. Mm-hmm. And we're getting the proper proofs we want off the still with that as well. Yeah, no two are alike. It's handmade, came over from Germany. All of our tables in the tasting room are actually the crates that the equipment came in. So we're able to repurpose that.
Very cool. So what is like the age of the oldest whiskey in like your bourbon, for example? Like, is it like 2 or 3 years at this point, or do you have some older whiskey in there?
Yeah, currently we have straight bourbon and straight rye. So, excuse me, it's aged for at least 2 years, mm-hmm. 5 barrel blends. This is our first batch of both of those. So yeah, so straight bourbon and rye whiskey aged for at least 2 years, 5 barrel blends. That's gonna be our flagship moving forward. Mm-hmm. We'll do another run of this and as we harvest in the spring, early spring possibly, because we are about to run out of this first batch, which is great for us.
That's why you're doing it. That's why you're doing it.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it. So, and then, you know, on top of that, though, we have barrels that are at least 4 years old that I think come February, we may have probably 50 or so barrels that are 4 years old. Mm-hmm. So bottle and bond mm-hmm. will be exciting. And then other one-offs, too. So we actually are about to release a straight corn whiskey.
Oh, cool.
Our distiller is like obsessed with corn whiskey. Yeah. It's kind of, we're trying to revive, you know, spirits that are not as well known, like the white yep. rye, the white whiskey, and the corn whiskey. And this is a 2 year aged in a one time used rye barrel. Super, it's like a sweet corn.
Yeah, flavorful. Yeah, corn whiskeys
yeah,
are great.
Yeah, flavorful, unique. Yeah.
That's very cool.
That's probably have like 300 or so bottles of that, which will be good. And it's going to be, I should mention the proofs of the straights finish at 94.
Yep.
And because this corn whiskey is going to thrive at a little bit of a higher proof at like 110, 111, I think we finished it at. So should be really cool. It's our first cask finish.
She big. You know, yeah. She big girl.
Yeah.
So right now, are you guys just in like New England or just in Massachusetts for distribution? How's that working?
Yeah, we self-distribute. So we're just in Massachusetts okay. for the time being. We're in about 60, 70 liquor stores. We have like a nice little like find our store or like find us in a store map on our website to help people
Great.
Kind of find us.
So what's next for you here? Like what's the plan? World domination?
Great question. Yeah, world domination. You know, the tasting room is really exciting. So I run all the tours and tastings, like I should say most every once in a while, our distiller or our founder, John, he'll run a couple. I try to get them to do some special tours, but, mm-hmm. You know, my focus is definitely on the experience here, you know, building that brand, you know, showing our passion, our craft by showing up and providing a level of service here every weekend. Other than that, though, too, like I do tasting. So getting out in the world a little bit more, you know, just showing up to restaurants that we're in, showing up to liquor stores that we're in, just to keep continuing talking to the public and getting the word out. So that's probably where I'll be hopefully transitioning to a little bit more next year is maybe a little less in the tasting room and more just out in the field mm-hmm. helping like grow this brand and talk about these spirits.
That's great. Others. Seems like you're really passionate about it. What outside of Chattermark, like what are your... Not TikTok, obviously, but like, what are you really interested in outside of Chattermark? I know that we were talking a little bit about music, but what do you do to like kind of turn your brain off and like not think about work?
Oh, yeah. Rock climbing.
Oh, no way.
That's yeah, probably my favorite activity, rock climbing. I'm also a huge sports fan, but like as for activity, there's a lot of great rock climbing gyms in the area and I need to get outside more. That's like one of my New Year's, I guess, resolutions, just to make sure I get on some real rock too a bit more this year. But that and like cycling are two.
That's terrifying.
So definitely
though,
staying active.
You don't need to be on a real rock. Just go to a climbing gym. They got a mat. If you fall, it's fine. It's like one of the only sports where like if you fuck up, you die immediately. Like you
don't... Yeah, well, you want to talk about not thinking about work and just thinking about your next move and
True.
Not slipping. Yeah, that's the sport for you. It definitely, you have to be in the moment. You got to be thinking about the rock or you're going to fall.
It seems a little extreme for no reason. Like I know a lot of people that mountain bike and they show me these videos of where they're like mountain biking on these like roads or cliffs, you know, on the side of the mountain where
no,
if like you just wrong turn, you're done. It's like,
yeah,
is
no,
mountain biking that cool? Like, why would you do that
Pass.
To yourself?
Yeah.
All right. So no big rock faces for you, but big enough to make you zone out.
You know, nature a little bit more. I've lived in the city for almost 10 years now, and I love it here, but definitely need to enjoy the mountains a tad bit more. You know, New England's a special place. I love going to Maine, so Portland's one of my favorite cities to visit too, so a lot of that.
Where'd you grow up?
I'll go in the dead of winter. I grew up in Central Mass.
Oh, okay.
Out in like the Worcester County area, so not too far.
Love to come see the distillery and taste some things. And what else? What we've talked about so many things. What do you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I guess you know,
put you on the spot,
it's just
Cass.
Yeah, you've been on the spot.
What is this, Donahue?
What's the, you know, like, boy?
Oh my God, who's the father?
Gosh, like, I'm usually better at this.
I'm just messing with you. You do not have to do this. I'm just fucking with you.
No, this is great. Honestly, like, it's just, it's the fact that, like, you know, I think we're just a genuine group of people who care about putting out a good product. We want people to have a good time. One thing that's been really awesome is that we have regulars that come here now.
Oh, cool.
You know, this is like our bar. We have regulars in the neighborhood who are super supportive and are cheering us on along the way. And, you know, so it's just we're working to build a community. Mm-hmm. And we are, I think we're trying to create something that you can come in here and know nothing. And that's fine. This is not a pretentious atmosphere. We want to show you the world of whiskey and like have you enjoy it the way that you want to enjoy it. There's not one way to enjoy these spirits. We kind of want to open up like how versatile and unique, you know, bourbon and rye whiskey can be, white whiskey, gin as well. So, you know, we're just trying to be players in the field in that sense and be a welcoming spot that is just like creative and having a good time. So
that's great.
You know, definitely be on the lookout for events and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's one of my focuses for next year. A lot more public events. You know, we've done oyster shucking parties. We do some fun
cocktail
parties and stuff like that.
You couldn't get too far away from the fishmonger in yourself. You're like,
no, I was shucking oysters for like the entire day. Just was a calling for me that day.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, that was it. Where does the name Chattermark come from?
Oh yeah, great question. I should definitely mention that. It's a brevity code used in the Air Force.
Oh.
So it tells pilots to switch their radio signal to like avoid jamming. Mm-hmm. So it's a code that our founder has used, you know, over the course of like the 10 to 12 tours he spent overseas. So again, like little subtle nods to his service, you know, without being too, I don't know, over the top or, you know, so just nods to where he came from, which is an important part of the story. So a lot of paper airplane vibes in here, things of that nature.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. You're super adorable. No disrespect. You are adorable. you're like, I'm a grown woman. Do not call me adorable.
No.
Cass is super smart. And I feel like we didn't talk about her enough. And I feel bad. So maybe in the future, we'll have like a episode where we have drinks and we talk about making them and or just whiskey in general, which is always great. I'm going to come see you because I would like to do that. So maybe I'll see you soon.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, love to have you in.
Go to Chattermark. What are your hours?
Yeah, we're currently Thursday through Sunday, like 4 to 10 or 4 to 11. That's kind of our vibe. Definitely follow us on Instagram if you're in the social world. That's where I'm doing most of the posting. It is me, so I'm learning.
Great.
So it's, you know, I need some Gen Z help to get me like, those.
Don't we all?
Those reels. No, I know. My gosh, they're brilliant.
I'm Gen X, and I feel like we're the mirror images of Gen Z in a lot of ways because I just love them. I'm just like, I'm gonna change the world, guys.
Yes, yes, it's on you. I'm millennial. I'm like, I'm done. Go for it. I'm just in this void.
You're so funny.
You save the world.
All right. Yes. Well, if you're in the Boston area, go check out Chattermark and say hi to Cass and drink their awesome spirits. I can't wait to try them and enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.